Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When Jesus saw their faith, I think it is true, surely it is true, that every one of us has somebody who is a burden to us in prayer. That there is somebody, or perhaps a number of people, for each one of us, whom we regularly like to lay before the Lord in prayer. What we call intercession. Intercessory prayer. Now I believe that this parable has much to teach us in that very, very important area, and that it has great encouragement for us to intercede and to keep going with intercession, because the Lord does hear and he does reward. Now, the usual focus when dealing with this parable is on the man with the palsy and on the miracle which we have before us. A wonderful miracle, of that there is no doubt whatsoever. And the man was recovered of his physical illness, but something about the whole thing seems to throw the focus rather on the four friends, rather than on the man himself. I believe that really is a very helpful focus for us to take as we study this miracle. And it's a miracle, but at the same time, like most, if not all of the miracles, they are also, in a sense, parables, because they have to teach us not just the power that Jesus has to do these things, that is in it, but there is also a spiritual lesson. Just as there is in parables, there is a spiritual lesson and spiritual principles to be learned from miracles. And I think a good way of looking at this miracle is that these four men who carried this man in the bed and did so much for him, that they are in the position of intercessors. And when we do that, we find great encouragement in our intercession. First of all, we have to say that everything in this picture of these four men carrying this man indicates a strong bond. Now, it could be a family bond, or it could be simply a bond of friendship. But whatever it was, the indication was that there was here a very strong bond, a very affectionate bond, and a very loving bond, and a bond which desired the best possible for their friend who was sick of the palsy. We read that he was born of four. He was carried by these four men in his bed. They took him as their burden and responsibility. The man was helpless. He could not in any way get to where Jesus was. Even quite apart from the crowd, it would be impossible for him. But these four men took their friend, whom they clearly were bonded to, they took him as their burden and responsibility. They didn't just wash their hands of him or say to him, well, I'm sorry, you can't come. We are going to hear what Jesus has to say. It was not like that at all. They bore him as their burden. They took him as their responsibility. And that, of course, must always be in intercession. That we bear those whom we intercede for. That we bear them as a burden. And that we feel them as a burden. And that we carry them as a burden. And that we feel strongly our responsibility to pray for them. It is interesting when we look at the Old Testament. Some of the pictures there are so interesting. It is interesting to see that the high priest bore on his shoulders and on his breast the names, stones, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The idea is very much that he was bearing them on his shoulders and on his heart as he went into the presence of God. And this, of course, was a type of the great intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who truly bore his people. He carried them all the days of old, we read in the Bible. He carried them on his shoulders and he carried them upon his heart. He carried their burden and responsibility, and he also carried their spiritual burden and responsibility. He was, of course, the ultimate intercessor. There is no intercessor that can compare with him. And yet, surely it is true, as I said at the beginning, that every believer is in some way an intercessor. That God gives to every believer some kind of intercessory burden. Perhaps just the one person, or perhaps many people, perhaps even a great number of people, perhaps a whole congregation. I do hope there are people in our congregation who bear upon their shoulders and upon their hearts the whole burden of the congregation as they go into the presence of God. So surely every believer is given by God some kind of intercessory burden, some kind of prayer burden as they go into his presence. It is always a blessing when God gives us something which drives us or takes us to prayer. Everything, whether good or bad, that takes us to prayer, we should be thankful for. And especially, I think, in this concern is close family, and close friends as well. Those with whom we have a strong burden of affection, a strong bond of affection, strong enough for us to desire their salvation. Strong enough for us to intercede for them and to carry them on our shoulders as a responsibility and on our hearts in prayer. Now, when we look closely at this parable, this miracle, which is also a parable, and we're looking at the parable side of it tonight, the teaching about intercession, we notice that it is not the man's faith that Jesus responds to, but the friend's. Now, I know that very often the man is included along with the friends when Jesus says when he saw their faith. Now, that may be the case, but on a plain reading of it, I don't think so. It's very much about the efforts these men made, and when Jesus sees these efforts, it says, when he saw their faith. Now, I do believe that the attempt to include the man with them in the words of the Lord when he saw their faith. I believe that the purpose of that is to solve what is an extremely unusual thing about this miracle, that there is not a single word or indication or gesture from the man himself. There is nothing from him. No matter how hard we look, so some with the best intention, and there may be something in what they say, include the man in when Jesus saw their faith. Now, I don't necessarily accept that. When I read it and I read that again just shortly before I came here today, when I read that again, I still come to very much the same conclusion, that it is the faith of these men. It's they who are spoken of. They made the effort. They made this most unusual effort, and they lowered the man to before Jesus. And Jesus says, when he saw their faith, he says, not to them, but to the one they were carrying, the sick of the palsy, he says to him, thy sons be forgiven thee. Certainly, I think we have to say that the man's faith is not the focus. Then the question is, how did Jesus see their faith? What does it mean when it says, when Jesus saw their faith? You cannot see faith. I know that Jesus was God as well as man, and that he could see things that we cannot see. But I think the meaning here is really quite clear. It is when he sees the great efforts they made for their friend, and perhaps bringing before him the great burden they had for their friend, and the bond between them, and that expressing their faith, and also the perseverance. They just would not stop at any obstacle until they got him right to the place where Jesus was and lowered him to just right in front of him. Nothing was going to deter them. Nothing was going to keep them back until they got this man right to that position just before Jesus. Now, there was physical difficulties, without any doubt at all, that they made a bit of a mess, I'm sure, and there would be some complaints from below, with all the debris that would fall down, and there was perhaps the sense that they were jumping the queue, and all the inconvenience that this caused to those who had a kind of a ringside seat next to Jesus. Some of them would not be very happy, because they would not all be believers. So let's just move on just a little bit and ask the question, still under this heading, what really is the prayer of faith? What really is the prayer of faith? It is a prayer that will not be stopped. The prayer that just refuses to give up. The prayer that says, in the face of all difficulty and all discouragement and all lack of results and all lack of answers, that says, I will not stop. While I have breath, I will keep going with this prayer. It was their perseverance, their determination, their no give in attitude. That's what Jesus saw. And he realized that it was an expression of their faith. to determine to get this man to that position right in front of him. Person who intercedes and who prays with determination, that person will let nothing prevent him from his prayer. He will let nothing prevent him from getting to prayer. And he will let nothing prevent him from continuing in prayer. And he will delay in prayer. He will continue. He will continue longer. An interesting thing in the case of Jacob's wrestling, that it is clear that the Lord was detained by Jacob. The Lord said, "Let me go." Jesus and Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he blessed him there. And our prayers, continuing in prayer and continuing longer in prayer and being more determined in prayer, actually detains the Lord. And the possibility that it is never the Lord who brings the prayer to an end, but it is always us. It is always we who will get tired. It is always we who will feel the pressure of things to do. It will always be always we who will bring the amen, perhaps before we absolutely need to do so. What is the prayer of faith? It is the prayer that goes on daily, for years and years and years, even without any sign of an answer, without any obvious and open sign of an answer. Why is that the prayer of faith? Because it indicates faith that God sees. And God hears that prayer. That the fact of a lack of an answer or a result for the prayer is not there. Does not dampen that prayer. It does not dampen the faith of that person who believes that God hears and answers prayer. Now, you know as well as I do that prayer is a battle. It's a battle to get there. It's a battle to continue. And it's a battle to continue longer. Satan will try and stop us. He will do absolutely everything in his power. And he will even use the word of God, as he did with Jesus himself in the temptation in the wilderness. He used the word of God. He will do that with us. And he has a very good one in these circumstances. In the circumstances of a continued, determined prayer over many years. He has this to say to you. Ah, he will say, vain repetitions. Isn't that right? Do you feel sometimes that your prayers are repetitive? Of course you do. And if you're involved in intercessory prayer, there is no doubt whatsoever but that you will say to yourself, oh, it's the same prayer all the time. And you leave the door open to Satan to say to you, ah, vain repetitions. But our prayers for our loved ones are necessarily repetitive, but they are anything but vain. Vain means empty. We must distinguish between repetitive prayer, which is just simply an expression of our faith that God will answer. We must distinguish between that and vain or empty repetitions. Our prayers may be repetitive, and they necessarily have to be. Praying for the same people all the time, praying the same prayer for them. What more prayer can we have for them but the same prayer, that they might be saved? But they are not vain repetitions. Far from it. Very, very far from it. They are earnest. They are from the heart. And indeed, they are the least vain prayers of all, because they are prayers which are from the heart and which are burdened. We are bringing to the Lord a burden. So, when Satan says, puts the idea into your mind, oh, it's vain repetitions, chase them away. Yes, they may be repetitions, but they're not vain, Satan. Get thee behind me. Banish him. Order him off. In this prayer, we will not be stopped. We just simply refuse to stop bringing our burden before the Lord and doing it many times daily and continuing for years and years and years and continuing right until our last breath. Because our prayers may be answered long after our prayers have ceased, because we have left this world. There is nobody who has a really burdened prayer of intercession who does not take that attitude. Even if I don't see it, Lord, and you might even say to the Lord, it may be better for me if I didn't see it, lest I glory in it. But even after I am gone, Lord, do thy work. Hear my prayer. Now notice, thirdly, that there is no plea or request from this man. I believe that there is something there very important for us, especially in intercessory prayer. Because we sometimes, in many of these cases, that we have the problem, that we are praying for them, but we know that they are not praying for themselves. There is no plea from them before the throne of grace. There is no burden on them. Quite simply, there is no plea, no request, no prayer from them. And yet the Lord's response here is so immediate. When he sees their faith, it says, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. It is just so close together. It just seems to be immediate as soon as he sees this faith, this determined faith, determined to bring this man to right before, as soon as he sees it, regardless of the fact that the man has no plea or no prayer. He addresses the man. says to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." When Jesus saw their faith, he responds, and he responds immediately. Not in the way that they expected. They expected, of course, physical healing. That was the thing at the top of their agenda. And he just leaves that aside. And he says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Why this first? Why not the healing first? And then something like he usually says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." There may be other needs. Our friends, our family may have other needs. But if we are truly spiritual people, true intercessors, then the first thing will be their salvation. Right? Of course. That is the first thing. Supposing no other plea is heard, that is the one that we want to see answered, that they will be saved. When we lay somebody in front of Jesus, they may have multiple needs, many needs. They may need healing. But if they are not saved, then all these other things take a lower priority. And the main thing will be that they might be saved. Jesus knew what this man's main need was. His first need was not the obvious and openly obvious need. But his greatest need and his first need was that he should be saved, that his sins would be forgiven him. When we lay anybody before, that must be the first thing, our first concern, salvation, that he may escape the wrath to come. Now, there are many other miracles which point to the Godhood of Jesus Christ, as this one does. Because who could work such a miracle but one who was God as well as man? So he demonstrates, as well as demonstrating, his power. And demonstrating his Godhood through his power, he demonstrates it through his authority to forgive sins. And he puts that first, and the physical healing second. So it must be in our intercession. And the fact that there is no plea from the person, not a move, not a sign of life. In fact, things may be getting worse. There may be that great fear that there is a hardening process going on. And our hearts get sorer, and our prayers get more intense because of that. But here we have encouragement. Here we have someone who had no plea. Nothing. Search as much as you like. And before you have anything from this man or any sign of anything, you have to perhaps add a little bit to the story, a detail which is not there. And some people sometimes do that. But I put it to you this way. The fact that there is no plea from the man himself here is itself further encouragement. It is. When we ask, how can they be saved when they do not cry for it? How can they be saved when they have no plea? How can they be saved when they have no need of salvation? When they don't see any need of it? Here is your answer. When he sees their faith, the faith of the carrier, the faith of the intercessor, the faith of the one who takes somebody and lays him before Jesus, when he sees that person say, he will do in his own time for that helpless one who has no plea. So here is so much encouragement here for intercession and continuing intercession and no give in intercession right until our dying breath. But when he sees our faith, he does see it in our perseverance, in our keeping going, a refusal to accept any reason or excuse, a refusal to be deterred by circumstance or by difficulty, a refusal to be discouraged by the repetitiveness of it, but just keeping going. When he sees that faith, he will answer. Gracious God, we thank thee once again for thy word, for its richness, for its encouragement. We thank thee very specially for this account of this miracle. We thank thee for its parabolic teaching, for its illustration to us of persevering faith, persevering intercession. We thank thee, Lord, that there is so much here, the grace and the mercy and the hearing ear of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would thou bless us now as we continue together. Would thou pardon sin. In Jesus' name, amen.